We will continue our worship service this morning with the sermon. When I was in middle school, I was part of an elite organization. That's right. They were at least as elite in my mind as Delta Force or Navy SEALs. I was a member of Safety Patrol. As a member of Safety Patrol, I got a belt with a little sash on it and a badge that looked a lot like what a police officer would carry. And that gave me the status amongst my middle school friends, at least so I thought. The job of Safety Patrol was to, as the name implies, keep people safe. So should, during recess, a ball get kicked out into the street, it was my job to put my life on the line and go fetch that ball and return it to my admiring younger classmates. It was another important job was to man the crosswalk. So I would stand at the crosswalk, arms outstretched, just like that little girl. And I would stand there, and when it was safe to cross, I ensured people stayed in the crosswalk. Outside of crosswalk, certain death. Inside crosswalk, you were safe. That was my role. You're asking if I had any friends when I was younger? Is that what you said? I don't know why he brought that up. No, Safety Patrol was not something I necessarily keep on my resume anymore, but the idea behind Safety Patrol is that we were to look carefully to make sure things were safe and keep people in the crosswalk. And that's what Paul's message for us today is in Ephesians 5, 15 through 21. And so I just want to give us a little bit of an overview of this passage. I just basically put a little outline up there because it's a fairly simple passage, actually. Basically, the main idea is to watch how you walk, right? To look carefully to make sure that you are walking in the crosswalk, as Jesus, who bore the cross, did for us. And so the way that the Bible tells us to walk, the way it tells us to live our lives, is a lot like an owner's manual for a car. It's going to tell us the things we need to do to live a life that is going to be meaningful and purposeful, and a life that is going to be beneficial for the sake of the kingdom. And so just like in a car, you wouldn't put diesel fuel in the gas tank unless it was a diesel engine. We want to stay within the crosswalk to optimize our lives. And so it tells us that we need to make sure that we're walking wisely, not unwisely, and that we're making the best use of the time because the days are evil. I'll get into that in just a little bit. And how do we make the best use of our time? Well, we're not supposed to be foolish. We're supposed to understand what God's will is. Have you ever noticed in the Bible that whenever it's talking about fools, it's not talking about how smart you are. It talks about how well you obey and understand God's word and His will. It also tells us not to get drunk, but instead to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And basically all the things that come next are things that are what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you'll notice in this list as I go through it very quickly, these are all things that can and should be done in a corporate setting. Remember, Paul is writing to the Ephesians talking about what it means to be a community, what it means to be a church. You see, in Romans 8, 9, we know that all Christians have the Holy Spirit in them. All Christians have the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not a Christian. There's not like some second baptism thing that happens where you become a different level of Christian. If you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. And so to be filled with the Holy Spirit, there are some symptoms of it. And those symptoms are addressing people properly, singing, making melody or making music, giving thanks, and it says for everything, which some people don't like that because they're like, really, I should give thanks for everything? You know, there's always something to be thankful for. This doesn't mean we give thanks for evil, but we do give thanks to God for what He's doing through certain things. We don't necessarily give thanks for suffering, but we are thankful that suffering produces perseverance, as Romans 5 says. So we are to give thanks for everything, but that doesn't mean, as some Christians have taken it, that we should thank God for abortion or thank God for sin. We are to thank God for what He's doing for those things. And then, of course, we are supposed to submit to one another out of reverence, which actually in the Greek is fear, out of fear for Christ. We are to submit to one another. Next week's passage and the passage after that are actually subsets of this. What does it mean to submit to one another? But that's just a sort of a high-level overview. Basically, we are to look carefully and stay in the crosswalk. So the problem in the Ephesians church, and keep in mind, the Ephesian church, Paul was not writing to them with a specific issue in mind. In fact, this was a letter that was supposed to be distributed amongst a lot of the churches in Asia Minor. But the issue that he is addressing is the potential that we all have, all Christians, then and today, that because the days are evil, we're going to act foolish. We're going to default to acting like those around us. We're going to fall to the culture. And he tells us that this is not a wise way to live. So we need to understand what God's will is. And of course, some of God's will for the church is in that letter to the Ephesians, and other parts of Scripture contain God's will. And that's how we make sure we don't fall into what the culture is doing. And he also says to not get drunk, which is an interesting thing to put beside getting filled with the Holy Spirit. The negative command is don't be drunk, but the positive command is be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I thought that was really interesting, because why did he pick that? Well, if they're thinking about it a little bit and doing some research, oftentimes we tell people when we say someone's drunk, we say they are under the influence, right? They're under the influence. And though this would be a little anachronistic for Paul to use that terminology, that's what he has in mind here, is what is influencing you? What is filling your life? What is filling your time? We're supposed to be under the influence of God, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and not under the influence of alcohol or other drugs or things in our culture that maybe they didn't have back then. And so to prevent being evil, to default to what the culture is doing, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Another interesting little just tidbit about the context back then is they used to use alcohol as a way to get in touch with the spirits. So just like the Native Americans would smoke the peyote and have these visions and things, people thought that if they drank alcohol, this was a good way to get in touch with God, or their version of God. And so especially in some worship settings like Dionysus, who is the goddess of wine, imbibing was a big part of that worship. And it was supposed to make you more spiritual. There's some record of that being a part of Artemis worship, though maybe not quite to the same extent. But if you've ever seen drunk people, they often seem like they, in their own heads, they feel like they're being spiritual. They feel like they're having these great insights into things. But in actuality, they're not so much, especially if you're a sober person nearby them. And so we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to live our lives wisely, not unwisely. And isn't that the trouble in the world today, too? This is one of those passages that's really easy to go from the ancient world to the modern world. Our default is foolishness and wasting our lives, right? That's our default. Given everything else being equal, I'm probably going to be lazy. Given everything else equal, I'm probably going to just copy the people around me. I'm just going to act like the world that's all around me. If you think about how much time do we spend on things like social media, not all social media is bad, but how much time are we spending on it? Are we wasting our lives? Or are we using it in a way that we shouldn't be using? Or watching movies? Do we mimic our culture? Or do we mimic the Bible? I think we have a tendency, even in the church, even here in Rolling Hills Church, we want to mimic what the world is doing, thinking that this is what's going to bring people to Christ. But we are not to act foolishly. We are to be making the best use of our time so that we're not wasting our lives. And so Paul tells us, and he explains, that there is a much better way. That we can be wise and filled with the Holy Spirit if we pay attention to our walk. If we look carefully, examining our lives, and stay in the crosswalk, we are going to live Spirit-filled lives. And one of the things that I wanted to point out is, did you notice that not being, you're not filled by the Holy Spirit because you do these things. You do these things because you are filled with the Holy Spirit. So you address one another in, he says, you know, psalms and hymns, but just think about encouragement and edifying speech and biblical speech. We do those things because we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We sing to the Lord and we make music because we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, sometimes we get that backwards, right? We think, okay, the music's going and now I can start to feel the Holy Spirit inside me. That's backwards. If you're tapping your foot before you feel the Spirit, that's emotion. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what makes us sing. The Holy Spirit is what makes us make music. The Holy Spirit is what makes us give thanks. The Holy Spirit is what makes us submit to one another. And being filled with the Holy Spirit is, again, it's not some repeated thing that gives some sort of charismatic experience. It's not just speaking in tongues and being prophesying and those types of gifts. It's a little anachronistic to say that those are the only gifts of the Spirit, or that that's what being filled with the Spirit means. It means to focus our attention on Christ. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to recognize His presence in us and open ourselves to His continual and transforming work, so that His Word dominates our lives and His Word is what influences our lives more than anything else. We're not filled with the Holy Spirit when we try to just be 80%. When we're 20% culture and 80% doing the things that He wants, that's not being filled. God has given us His Spirit, but we can also give the Spirit a little bit of the Heisman. And so we have to be careful about doing that. Another thing that is important is knowing His will. Knowing God's will is essential to living a better life, a life in the crosswalk, as we examine our lives carefully. We have to look carefully at the little things. See, sometimes we think we've got to determine God's will only when there's a big decision that has to be made. Sometimes we think, oh, I need to know, should I do this big thing or should I do that big thing? Instead of just recognizing that most things in the Bible are everyday things. And if we are living in His will in those everyday things, those big things become a lot easier. When we follow His word about tithing, we don't have to really think much about big financial decisions, because we've been making good financial decisions in His will all along the way, for example. When you know His will, when you spend time in God's word and you're examining His word, the big things often take care of themselves. They often take care of themselves. That doesn't mean there's no room for discernment. That doesn't mean there's no room for prayer. But as we think about God's will, realize this book has most of what we need to know in it already. We don't have to try to figure it out. Too often when we're trying to figure it out, we're trying to figure out how to justify what we want to do against what God's will says. And so we need to be watching ourselves. We need to look carefully so we can live a meaningful life in the crosswalk. And of course, this is true today, just like it was true in Ephesians. If we examine our lives carefully, we can be wise and we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. If we look carefully and pay attention to our walk, staying in the crosswalk, our lives are going to be more meaningful too. Well, what does this maybe look like? Well, one of the things that we can do is, if you're like me, you typically have to make lists. Like, I have to make a lot of lists. And as I'm writing out my schedule or the things that I have to do, it's good to put why you're doing what you're doing. If you simply add a why to your prayers, to the money you spend, to the lists you make, a why you're doing it, you're going to find yourself looking carefully and staying in the crosswalk. Most of us are going to have millions and millions of dollars actually go through our hands over the course of our lifetime. And we are going to be accountable to that. We have 24 hours a day, 365 days a year for 80, 90, 100 years perhaps. We're accountable for that. Are we making the best use of our time? Are we looking carefully at our lives, and are we staying in the crosswalk? And if we simply think of it as I have to give God a reason for why I'm doing this. So putting a why after it, or give myself a godly reason why, we'll save ourselves a lot of trouble and we'll be able to look back at our lives and say, yes, I did live wisely. because I lived in the principles of Scripture and I'm able to justify it even looking at Scripture. The one issue in there, I think most of us understand that, okay, speaking to one another well, yep, that seems like a good thing of the Spirit. Like, that's a good thing. Nobody needs to argue that. Singing to God, making music to God, those are things that, like, people are like, yeah, okay, I get it. We're supposed to do that. Right? Giving thanks and is another one that, again, people are like, yeah, in general, I get it. Gratitude's the guardian of your soul. We say that a lot here at Rolling Hills Church. And then we get to the fifth one on that list, the fifth participle, submitting to one another. That's where a lot of us don't like that. A lot of us don't like submitting to one another, right? And again, we're going to get into that a lot in the upcoming weeks. But submitting is really just an act of love, right? Submission is an act of real love to another person. It's a decision that we make that this other individual has great worth. They are made in the image of God. And they are a person who died and rose with Christ, and so I'm going to die and rise with Christ by submitting to them and giving them like all my love, bearing their burdens, putting aside my desires and my wants for that person. Submission is a way to love and respect other people. And in fact, without mutual submission, Christians really can't fulfill their destiny. We can't really be the church unless we are submitting to one another. And again, we're going to have to get into this a little bit more in the upcoming weeks. And the reason Paul lays it out a little bit more is because I think he had the same question, or he anticipated the same question that I had when I went through this passage. Well, if everybody's submitting to everybody else, how does anything get done? Right? Like, if I'm going to submit to you about where we're going to go out to eat, and you're going to submit to me about where we're going to go out to eat, we're never going to go out to eat. Right? We're going to be spinning our wheels. If I'm submitting to you about what movie we're going to watch and you're trying to submit to me about what movie we're going to watch, no decision's ever going to happen. And so, at the end of the day, someone still has to make a decision. Someone still has to be the final say. But when it's done in a godly way, it's not a destructive thing. It's not a toxic thing. In fact, leadership, if someone is supposed to submit to you, is all about having the other person's best wishes in mind. It's not about you trying to get your way all the time. And so I just want to preface the upcoming sermons with that submission is a good thing. It's about the relative worth of other people. It's about loving other people. It's about, again, dying and rising with Christ. Our lives are not meant to be aimless. We are supposed to look carefully and stay in the crosswalk. Our lives are a steady progress, moving towards more and more Christ-likeness. Life in the crosswalk is a life that is well-lived. It's a life that's meaningful and purposeful. Life in the crosswalk is something that we give thanks to God for, because once upon a time we were foolish, but God made us wise. Once we wasted our lives all the time, and now we live with the Spirit. And if we pay attention to our life and to God's will and stay in His Word, our lives will be Spirit-filled and overflow with those five things that have been mentioned earlier. A Spirit-filled life is worth it. A Spirit-filled life is what God calls us to. A Spirit-filled life is what gives life meaning. And so will you join me in looking carefully and staying in the crosswalk? Let's pray. Holy God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to worship you and to have the instruction manual about how to live a life that is well lived. Lord, one of the biggest fears in our culture, in our world, is that life is purposeless and meaningless. And sadly, some people have embraced that. But we know that that's not true. And Lord, may we be a light to those in need, those who are wandering, those who are aimless, who feel like they have no purpose. May they see the church, may they see this church in particular, as people who are watching their lives carefully and staying in the crosswalk. May they see that there is a difference. Again, not because of anything that we have done, but because you have given us your Holy Spirit. And may we not hinder the work of the Spirit in our lives. May we always give you thanks and give you praise and give you glory, because we know without you, we wouldn't be able to live a life worth living to a watching world. So continue to transform us, continue to renew us by the power of your Holy Spirit, and in Jesus' name, amen.